All right. So tonight's message is oil for the lamps. Yes. How many of you know that in order for a fire to burn in a lampstand, there has to be oil? And so tonight I'm going to talk about how a pressing produces an oil that will cause your lamp to keep on burning. God spoke to me this morning and he said to me specifically, there's some people in his church, and I don't mean Freedom Destiny alone, I mean the Church of Jesus Christ overall, who are going to get burned out when his spirit begins to flow in a mighty way if they do not have enough oil in their vessels. There is going to be a Zion fire that comes and hits the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you tonight about what Zion fire is. When God spoke this to me, I was very, very struck. And I said, Lord, tell me more. Explain to me what Zion fire is. Well, in the New Testament, we know that Mount Zion is used metaphorically to talk about the heavenly Jerusalem, God's holy and eternal city. And so Mount Zion is actually the place right now in Jerusalem where the Last Supper occurred. It is the place where we have that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He washed it right there at Mount Zion. It's also where John chapters 14 through 16, all the discourses that the Apostle John wrote are straight from there, even John chapter 17 as well. This is the same place where the disciples gathered in fear after the death of Jesus and ended up praying with Mary for the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's also the same room where the risen Jesus showed his wounds to doubting Thomas. And it is also the place where the tongues of a fire appeared in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. So when the Lord says, I'm bringing a Zion fire, what he means, it's my church is going to get on fire for me. Praise the Lord. Because it was in Mount Zion, it was at that place, it was in the upper room also where all those other activities occurred in the New Testament that we see that fire came on the people when he said, wait and tarry there. He told the 120 to tarry there. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 and 23, we hear specifically in the word that there's a mountain and it's a blazing fire mountain and it's a mountain that scares the people, okay? But when you read down further in verses 18 through 24, the word says, but you have not come to that mountain, the mountain that is going to scare you, okay? But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's you. Slap your neighbor and say, that's me. Mm-hmm. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So we are the church. We have come to this place of Mount Zion, and God says he's going to start a fire, and it is going to flood his church entirely, and it is going to flood his people first. But there are some things that you have got to know and understand, and this is where the prophetic comes in. Not only is God saying a Zion fire is coming, but he's saying that I need you to have enough oil in your vessels to sustain when this fire comes, because I want to keep it burning. Now, who's going to have enough oil in their vessels? But it's going to be the people in the church of God who have been pressed, who have been pushed, who have gone through trials and temptations, and who have turned to the living God in the midst of those situations in their life. See, you have a choice to either turn to God when things are difficult or turn away from Him. We're all given a free will choice to do one or the other. You'd be surprised how many church members will turn away from the living God when they're in the midst of a trial, when God's taking them through a difficult season or a difficult place. Yes, spiritual warfare was there. The enemy came against you, but God was sovereign over that, and He was standing with you, and He was holding on to you in the midst of that, and instead you got an angry heart. You got an upset heart, and you chose to turn away from Him in the midst of it, saying, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? And the Lord says, we're not going to have that happen if we want to see Zion fire continue to burn. In other words, the people of God have got to become dependent upon Him and understand His love, even in the midst of your trials and your temptation. That's how you build the oil that keeps the fire burning. Now, we know that instructions were received by Moses on the mountain. He went up and down multiple times. Moses went up and down that Mount Sinai multiple times. God called him up, okay? We always talk about the three times because that's when he went up and down getting the tablets and watch. And when he come down, he see the people worshiping the golden calf. He was so upset about that. He went back up again on Elul, when we're in the month of Elul, the Hebrew month. Elul, the first day, he goes back up again to get another set of tablets to bring them down. But God would call him up to the mountain multiple times. It wasn't just three times. And sometimes he would bring some people with him. Now, they might not have gone all the way up, but they were at least called up at certain points. And so at this time, Moses was on the mountain and God spoke to him about the building of the tabernacle. And one of the instructions of the building of the tabernacle was that there should be oil in the lampstands. That's Exodus chapter 27, verse 20. The word says, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may keep burning. In the tent of meeting outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant law, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening until morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. How many of you know that you're the lampstand of the world? That you are the ones that carry the light of Jesus Christ to come and bring into the darkness the light that is necessary and seen. Well, to keep your fire burning, there has to be an oil that is continually alive on the inside of you so that a fire can be lit. In this particular case, that fire was to never go out, night or day. It was to burn continuously. I did some investigating today, did some research on the pressing out of olives. And what is that whole process like? I'm not going to take you through that process, but I'm going to share with you a few specific things that God just laid on my heart today about pressing out olives. Olives, after they're raked and collected, they are put on millstones and they are crushed. So the olive and the seed are both crushed on the stones. Then they're taken and lifted up and they're put on mats, okay, almost like pancakes, okay, and they're stacks of mats, and each mat has the olive and the seed on it, and they're stacked up, and then they're put inside a vat, and the heat has to be a specific consistency of heat. If it's too hot, then the oil can get skanky. It cannot be exactly the way it needs to be, so the heat has to be perfect. So as you set these pancakes in, and they stack them one on top of another inside the vat, they turn the heat on, and then it shakes just a little bit, and the oil begins to drip down the sides of these pancake mats and then begins to fall down into a vessel that will carry the oil. So there's a specific process to this in order to bring the oil to the place where we get the opportunity to enjoy it. Do you all know that Olympic torches were first lit using olive oil? Come on, you know how intense the fire of an Olympic torch can be. It was olive oil that first lit Olympic torches. The word Gethsemane actually means, Gethsemane, of course, is the garden where Jesus was crucified. Jesus went through his own pressing in the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And that word Gethsemane is broken down to these two words in the New Testament. Gat, which means a place for pressing oil or wine, and Shemanim, which means oils. So in other words, Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, was the place of pressing out for the Lord. And what did he do when he was struggling there in the garden? He was praying. He was seeking God. He was drawing close to him when he knew that he was going to have to go to the cross. Come on, I'm talking to somebody in this place today. If you want to see your oil continue to burn, then you need to get your head right about the fact that when trials and issues come against you, all that's happening is God is pressing out some oil that can continue to cause a fire to burn. See, if it happened to Jesus and pressing had to happen to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, then it has to happen to us. No, I'm sorry. You cannot escape this. You may have to just go through it. But when you go through it, you turn to God in the midst of it and not away from him. And this is where the church needs to get their head on straight. People walk away from God all the time. And I'm not talking about walking away from their salvation. I'm talking about the fact that their soul is hurt and bruised and angry with the circumstances that have happened to them. And so they get mad at God. Yes, they're still saved, but they get mad at God and they choose to walk away from the church. I'm not going back to the church. I don't have nothing to do with the church. I'm too hurt about the church and whatever happened here, whatever. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's ridiculous. People leave churches for the most ridiculous reasons on the planet. When I hear some of the excuses about why people leave, I just think to myself, deception is all that is. Deceived, deceived, deceived. And you think that you saw or heard something and you did not. And so we have to understand that God in the trials wants us to turn to him in the midst of it and say, Lord, I'm going through a rough time here, but I know you're pressing out something of value, Father, and I'm going to keep my head in the right space in the midst of it, because I want to see the oil that comes forth that's going to allow my fire to burn in the midst of the difficulties that I'm going through. I don't want to burn out God. See, you can burn out when you got the wrong attitude about trials and temptations and issues. If you turn away and you get angry with God, you're going to burn out faster than you can imagine, because you're not staying close to the flame himself in order for there to be an increase. Now, I want to talk to you about Matthew chapter 25, because if what God is saying for Zion fire to come and is going to come to his church, which means his people, then we have to understand that it is the oil, the pressing out in our lives that produces this oil, that is going to keep us burning in the midst of the fire that he wants to bring forth, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to stay under intense trials in the midst of the fire. What it means is you should have a vat that's full enough already. Come on, I don't know about you, but I've been through some things. But I got a pretty large vat of oil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do. I know some of you out there. I know some of you personally. Mm-hmm. And you got a pretty big vat too. So let's listen to Matthew chapter 25. Let's go into this, because Jesus was giving a parable. And he was talking about the 10 virgins. And this is really, truly amazing when we think about the fact that he's talking to them about oil. All right? Now, he says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, that word lamp means brilliancy or radiance. In other words, they took their lamps, their brilliance and their radiance, okay, and then they went forth to meet the bridegroom, okay? Now, he says that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Okay? So he called them fools because they had no oil for their lamps. So they got this lamp and they ain't got no oil. But the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay, so he's showing the difference between foolish and wise here. And wise actually means they had cautious character, practical skill, intelligence, and mental acquirement. Okay, this means that those people that have cautious character, practical skill, intelligence, and mental acquirement. In other words, these folks are awake. They're the wise folks. The wise folks are awake. They're seeing and sensing what is going on. Their spiritual senses are awakened, and they are in a place of wanting to learn more and to be eager and to know him more. Those are the wise people, okay? And these wise people who are awake, and they're consciously aware of where God is, what he's doing. They're the ones that are ready, and he calls them wise because they are ready for his return. Now, these people had vessels, and they had these vessels with their lamps. Now, what does vessel mean? In the New Testament or in the Greek, it means that they had oil in their bents, in their bins, in their aches, is what that means. In other words, that word vessel means it's a place that hurt. Come on, I hear somebody saying, whoa. Whoa. In other words, oil is encased in a vessel that is bent or hurt, that has aches about it. Now, he called these people wise. They had vessels that hurt, but the vessels were carrying the oil. Now, he didn't say that about the fools. He only said that about the wise ones. And then in verse 5, he says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. In other words, the bridegroom is Jesus himself. So while he was back and waiting, okay, where he had not shown up yet, those people who were foolish and not awake, they were mentally lazy about what was going on in their life. Their spirits were not quickened to the fact that God was working on them in the midst of their issues. They took everything personally. They wore their offense. They were too scared about this. They had too much doubt here. They were the ones that slumbered and slept. They were not acutely aware. Whereas the ones who had been hurt, the vessels that were carrying the most oil were the ones that had tapped into that place of intimacy with God, and they were getting their vessels filled in the midst of their pain and turmoil. Where the foolish ones were like, I'm going to ignore this, or I'm going to look away from this, or I'm angry about this, or I'm upset about this, and they did not enter the place where they could get filled with the oil. But those who had the right heart attitude were being pressed out, and oil was coming in the midst of their pain. Now, verse 6 says, at midnight there was a cry that was made. Behold now, here comes the bridegroom. Let's go out to meet him. So all the virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones who had slumbered during their issues, or had lazy mind or lack of faith or doubts or whatever it was, they looked at the wise ones and say, give me your oil. They say, give me your oil. Our lamps have gone out. In other words, we had little oil. We had little oil. Our lamps are going to, give me what you got. But the wise ones said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. Go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Now listen, what's so amazing about this word is if oil comes from the pressing of the olives in the vats under heat and under pressure, when your thoughts and your mind are on God in the midst of what's going on and oil is flowing at that particular point, then the oil that comes into the vessels only belongs to you. It has a fragrance that's only for you. It is only growing and building as a result of who you are and what's going on in and around you. In other words, your oil cannot be sold to somebody who needs it. Your oil ain't for sale. See, there's value in your oil. We know the woman with the alabaster box, right? She had all that oil and she broke it on Jesus. And the guys were like, hey, that we could have sold that. Jesus is like, no, you don't even know what's coming. Like, your head's in the world, in the earthly things. The foolish head is in the world and in the earthly things and not in the things of God. And so in the midst of the difficulty, we are pressing. We, the church, is pressing out an oil that keeps burning no matter what is happening, while the fools are saying, give me what you got, but it ain't for sale, because they can't acquire what you have gained in the intimate place with God, only you and Him alone. Nobody can acquire that. That has got the greatest value to you. Your lamp only burns because of what you've been through. Your lamp only burns because of the pressing that has happened to you. You can try and explain it to somebody. You can try and get on their plane with it. But the fact of the matter is, if your vat is full, it is full because you had the right heart attitude in the midst of the trials you went through. And you turned your heart to God and you say, God, pour it all out right now. So when Zion fire comes to the church, it's coming and will continue to burn through those who are awake and have an understanding that their vats have value. That value of oil will burn night and day, no matter what's going on. Come on, you can burn in the middle of the night. You can burn in the morning. You can burn in the afternoon because you know your source. See, the foolish ones, they're trying to figure it out. And they're going to go to the store and try and buy a counterfeit and bring it back and say, let this thing burn. See, unless it is produced through you and God, it does not have the value. It cannot burn. The foolish ones say, I'm going to go try and buy this somewhere. Let me put down a dollar for your counterfeit oil. That oil is not going to last because they didn't go through anything in order to produce it. There has to be a pressing. I know nobody likes this message because you say, hey, come on, do I have to really go through something in order to be on fire for God? Yes, you do. You have got to go through something in order to be on fire for God. If you ain't gone through anything, you are not going to be hot for God. There's no way. He is the only one who can quench that pain, quench those issues in your life, but He produces a fruit that comes from that. What is the fruit? It's the olive oil. That is the fruit that comes from abiding in Him in the midst of the trial and the circumstance and choosing to turn toward Him and not away from Him like the fools. You need to slap your neighbor and say, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't be looking to buy your oil from somebody else. You can't. Your oil is your oil. It's got its own special fragrance. Nobody else is going to smell like you either. Your scent, you're distinctive in the spiritual realm. Enemy knows. He knows. I do think all of us have some kind of common denominator. I don't know whether it's vanilla or rose of Sharon or cinnamon or something, but there's clearly a distinction between the wise people and the foolish ones. Clearly. Okay, so the word then tells us in verse 10, and while they went to buy, okay, because they're desperate and in need now. See, they turned away from God so many times in the midst of their stuff. They could not hold on. Now they're desperate in need, pulling out money to go buy themselves a counterfeit oil. The bridegroom shows up while they're out to buy. And so the ones who were ready, who had their oil, and they had their oil because they knew Him. And so when the bridegroom shows up, he's ready to enter into the marriage chamber. And they go in with him. The ones with the oil, they go in with him. But then the door shuts behind them. And the word says that the fools show up and knock on the door. Like they want to get in on that gig. They want to get in. And the word says in verse 11 that afterward came the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. Open it to us. And he says, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You know what? I'm going to hang there for a second. Why does he not know them? Because he wanted to be with them in the midst of the trial, but they determined they were going to do it on their own and turn away from him. See, the graciousness of God is, let me come alongside you in the midst of what you're going through, because it's there that we formulate relationship and the fruit comes out. But if you're going to turn away from me in fear and doubt and anger and offense and upset and guilt and condemnation and shame and all your business and walk away from me when my arms are out to you, I know you not. I know you not, because you don't trust me enough as your bridegroom to get close to me in the midst of what's going on. You hold me responsible for everything going on in your life, and so therefore you're running away from me. Guess what, you a fool. You a fool. So he says, I know you not. That means that he does not perceive, he does not understand, he is not aware. He knows us when we seek him. He knows us when we become one with him in the pressing. That's how he knows us. See, he died on the cross and shed his blood and was buried and resurrected for the people that need him. The word says he died for all, John 3:16. He died for all. He died for everyone. Whether you know him or you do not know him, he died for all people. However, the ones that need him, that's the ones he knows. Those are the ones that are in his church that are going to carry the oil in this end times and are going to be part of Zion fire, because they're the ones that are not going to turn away in the midst of the fire explosion. When things get so hot and people don't understand and amazing things are happening and people get confused and they walk away from the church or they start doing crazy things, the ones that are burning with his oil are going to say, you don't know him, come back in and learn about who he is. They're going to be the stable voice. See, Zion fire is going to come to the stability of the church. The church members that say, I'm here. I'm stable. I'm with you, God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to ride this storm out with you and you alone. Don't you know that God looks for a faithful one? Can you call yourself faithful? See, these are questions we had to ask ourselves. Are you faithful with what he's given you? Are you a good steward? See, the wise ones were a good steward of their oil. They're not going to put those in a bunch of vials and spread them all out for everybody. That has value. You can't have my oil. You got to go get your own. You got to go through something. You got to believe him for something. You can't have my oil. I only burn as bright as I do because of what I've been through and how he rescued me. That cannot be bought. He says, verse 13, then watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man comes. In other words, watch means keep awake, rouse from your sleep or your state of death or your state of non-existence. He's saying, get up and pay attention. When you're going through something, I love you, and I want to come alongside you in the midst of this, and I want to help produce through abiding in me the oil that is necessary to keep your lamp burning in the darkest moments that surround you. Your lamp can keep going if you've got a history with God. See, you need to have a history with him that he'll come through for you. You got to have a testimony that says he's going to be with you in the midst of it. Somebody's got to have some word of value in order to be able to speak in the midst of their trial and their circumstance that's going to help their lamp shine bright night and day. See, the world is looking at you and they're wondering, are you going to shine bright in the midst of your trial, or are you going to put out your light and say, I don't know him? Because when the going gets tough, that's always when you determine who your friends are. That's when you determine whether or not you a friend of God or you ain't. Is God your friend? We all want to say, oh yeah, God's my friend. Yeah, he gave me my rent money. God's my friend. He put gas in my car. God's my friend. He helps out my family. That's great. Is God your friend when something tragic happens to you? God's still your friend. See, we got to ask these questions because that's when the lamp needs to be burning. In the tabernacle, it burned 24 hours a day. It didn't go out. Why? Because those lamps that were burning, or the people that burn with that kind of fire, they do not turn away in the midst of their trials. And the church of Jesus Christ cannot turn away no matter how hard things get in the end times. We have to make sure we continue to be a lamp that is burning bright. God is testing his people, and he's saying, listen, you have value there. Allow me to light that fire so that you burn bright in the midst of what you're going through. And that's going to draw in a world that is seeking an answer. And guess what? He's the answer. But if your light's not burning, they may not be able to find their way. So we have to realize that we have an obligation. Look to your neighbor and say, I have something of value. Mm-hmm. And that value is the oil in my vessel. Mm-hmm. And it's not for sale. Tell him, you get your own. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You get your own. Next time somebody starts running their mouth, you say, you get your own oil. You ain't having none of mine. Mm-mm, you're going through something right now. I'm just going to pray for you. You get some oil in your vessel because God wants to burn bright in the midst of what's going on with you. And I need you to get your head on straight and stop acting like you're Freaky Freddy and crazy person and get yourself normal here. Come on. If the band wants to come up. See, everybody goes crazy instead of realizing that what they're going through is getting ready to produce something. We know in John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, I read this a couple weeks ago because the story's still the same. See, in September 8th, 9th, and 10th, when Rosh Hashanah comes, the fire of Zion is going to begin to start to burn. And God says, I want it to keep burning in my kids. But my kids have to realize the value of the oil on the inside of them and continue to allow me to put more oil in the vessels so that they can continue to burn. They have to be willing. They have to be open. Because as they're open to that and they keep a right attitude and your vat can continue to flow and flow and flow and flow. Listen, we're going through stuff all the time. Nobody pray trials and temptations on yourself. You don't have to do that at all. They are right around the corner. You hit one up every day. That's why he said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow got enough worry of its own. All right? So the fact of the matter is, today, tomorrow, there's something that's going to be annoying. But you can start banking by putting the oil in the vessel. How do you do that? You say, God, I want to thank you that you're with me in this trial. Father, I want to thank you that I'm connected to the vine and I'm abiding in you in the midst of this. John 15, verses 5 through 8 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You bear much olive oil when you're connected to him. If you are without him, you can do nothing. In other words, that vessel, it ain't going to get filled up with olive oil if you disconnect yourself from the vine. Because he says you bear fruit when you're connected to him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. So that means you got to figure out in the midst of your trial how you're going to get close to him so that some oil can get pressed out. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. They burn out. They can't keep a flame. Okay? When a branch comes off, all right, it can only burn for so long and then it's gone because there's no oil, there's no fruit, there's nothing to keep it going. But if you continue to hang on to him, if you will continue to abide in him and his words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God has a plan here. fire's coming. And this month, you need to analyze the depth of your vat. You say, well, Pastor Candace, how do I do that? Let me tell you how you do that. You take an inventory. You're coming up on God's new year. I want you to take an inventory of your life. I want you to sit down with a pen in your hand and a journal. And I want you to say to him, where have I not believed you in the midst of this thing? Where have my heart walked away from you? Where have I been angry with you? Where have I been discontent? Where have I had doubt, fear, and worry, God? Where have I not believed you and been a fool? And write it down. Write it down. Why? Because I don't want you to get tripped up in October after the fire starts burning and the same situation comes back and you're faced with it again and you didn't deal with it in the month of August. See, that'll put out your fire. So God says, get with me now. Get intimate with me. Forsake all others. I am your beloved and you are mine. Come into this place with me. Hear me. Let me take you to the places you need to go, understanding yourself and understanding me, so you can do a proper assessment before the beginning of the Hebrew New Year, 5779, which starts September 8th, 9th, and 10th. A new fire is coming to your life, a new desire for God, but it is only coming for those who are not fools and those who are wise and wide awake and make the choice to sit with him and say, Lord, show me how we can bear more fruit together in the new year. How we can bring more oil. God, I want to be a fire burning for you. Does anybody want to be a fire for him in this place? Raise your hand in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we thank you in this place, Lord. We thank you that we want to have vats that are filled with olive oil. And we're not talking about the fact that we want more trials, God. We're just talking about the fact that when they come, let us assess them properly that we might draw close to you. That we may not turn away from you, but that you may fill our vats so that we are like the golden lampstand and we burn night and day. Because you are the tabernacle of the Most High God. You are the temple of the Most High God. Father, we thank you that we are your temple, and in your temple is a lampstand that burns night and day, Father. And we give you glory and honor, and we all say together, amen, amen, amen.